Okay, sorry about that, guys. I don't know what that glitch was. So back to the rule of five. When I hear that people are having time management issues, I say just, you know, make a list of five things every day you're going to accomplish. And if you can try to accomplish three of them before noon, by the end of the week you'll have accomplished 20 things and you won't feel like you lost a whole week without getting anything done. And Jack Canfield, again, the author of Power of Focus, shared that with this author, Joe Sweeney, and he loved it. So starting right from the beginning, Joe Sweeney in the first introduction talks about listening. And I know, you know, until I'm blue in the face, we've talked about this. But what I liked that he brought up that was something different was listening with intention. Again, I can't tell you, I was just in a meeting yesterday where we had a meeting with a potential person we wanted to learn something from. It was me and another person. And this third party was sharing with us the information, and my partner kept interrupting him to tell him how, you know, things that he knew. And we weren't there for us to repeat what we knew. We were there to learn from the third party. And, you know, it's just a testament of we've got to just slow down, especially when we're in front of prospects. We want them to talk so we learn from them and about them. So, you know, almost have to put a rubber band around your wrist and pull it or snap it to keep yourself from sharing what you know, because you're not learning when you're sharing what you know. And Joe Sweeney talks about learning with intention. So try to keep that in mind. Another, somewhere else I read, not in this book, talks about when people say something, wait 3 seconds before you respond, which is very difficult. I've tried to do it. It's very difficult. But when you wait 3 seconds before responding, it makes the person you're meeting with actually think that you're really thinking about what he said. So many of us jump in and interrupt and don't let them finish their thought. And that could be the gold mine, you know, if you let them finish their thought. So try that for the rest of this week, you know, today and tomorrow when you're in a meeting or even talking to your spouse or your kids. Let people finish their thought. You know, we're always in a rush to interrupt and, oh, yeah, you know, this is what I think about that. But, you know, we want to hear what they think about it. I thought it was very interesting. I never knew where Google came from. And he shared with us that Google was a play on the word Google, G-O-O-G-O-L, which is a mathematical term for a number represented by the number 1 followed by 100 zeros. So I just thought that was a nice little tidbit that I had never heard. I didn't know where Google came from, and I thought that's very interesting the way it has multiplied in all of our lives and the number of members. So early on in the chapter, he talks about networking, and he talks about how he wanted to get Bob Costas to speak at an event. And he didn't know Bob, or he had met him, I think, once or twice, and it was for a Milwaukee, Wisconsin event, and he had heard that Bob liked bratwursts, and so he sent a case of bratwursts to Bob to get his attention. I absolutely loved that. He ended up getting Bob, Bob didn't call after the case of bratwursts and say yes. It took some other connections and networking to get Bob to say yes, but some of you have heard the story. I was trying to get a big retailer to call me back early on. My client, GE, we owned a shopping center, or we third-party managed a shopping center, and there was a big anchor tenant. And I left 47 messages, and the guy wouldn't call me back. And it was 9 months to renewal. We needed to know and find out if the guy was renewing or not. My client, GE, thought, you know, how can she not get this guy to call her back, even though he was known for that? And I finally, you know, I was at my wit's end, and I called a cookie company and got them. There was cookies that you could write on. They came in the form of a bouquet. And on each cookie, I wrote something like, you know, the name of the retailer, and I put, you know, XYZ retailers number 1, please call me. You know, you're so important to us. I just really flattered his ego and sent him these cookies. And it was so funny because when they got delivered, everyone in the department, in the real estate department at this large retailer, saw these cookies. And, you know, it was just doing something different. I got a call back that afternoon from this retailer that I had left, you know, 47 messages for. And we ended up getting the meeting, and they renewed their lease. And, you know, it's just doing some unique things to get people's attention. You know, those of us in retail leasing, you know, we call and we call and we call, and those retailers are getting all those calls. You know, if you were to send a letter, send an article, you know, send something on the market, you know, every once in a while in emails, when you go to call that guy, he's more likely to remember you and take your phone call. And that's really the theme of this book, Networking as a Contact Sport, is about giving versus getting. And if you have the intention of helping people, you'll end up getting in the long run. So that at one point before I was early on in my career, I hated going to the ICSEs and feeling like I didn't know anyone. So I put a sheet up on my wall in my cubicle, and I had a month, and I had a blank next to every month. And I said, every month I'm going to meet, I'm going to over the phone talk to or meet or introduce myself to a national retailer, so that when I go to the August ICSE in Orlando, I know 11 more retailers than I did the year before, because I didn't like going and just introducing myself for the first time. And the first guy I called was Steve Spiegel at Linens and Things, and I had nothing to sell him or market to him, but we were doing the Fountains at the time, and I figured, well, he's an anchor at the Fountains, and I called him up and I said, hey, you know, you don't know me, but I'm the new leasing agent at the Fountains, and how are you doing, and is there anything I can do to help you? And he said, as a matter of fact, you can. There are three trees blocking my signage, and I've called and called, and no one can help me on that. And I was able to get the trees trimmed, and, you know, he loved it. And certainly when I saw him at the August ICSC, he remembered that, and I had kept in touch through the year. So I had that additional relationship. And I tell young people in our industry all the time, you can create relationships, you know, if you are giving instead of asking. And that's a lot what's in this book about that. You know, they talk about ways to engage people and to be intentional about it. And if you walk up at an ICSE or you're at a networking event, and if your intent is, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, people see through that. And he writes on page 12, people can smell an agenda from 100 paces. So try not to have that agenda, because that's not going to win you business in the long run. In fact, it's the opposite effect. It'll burn a bridge. So even though I preach in negotiations, if you give, you must get, in networking, you have to give not to get. And that's what he talks about. And I thought that's just a whole different theory about networking. You know, offering people advice, you know, giving people a hand, you know, and not expecting anything in return. You know, he talks about how he sends books to people, which I do all the time as well. And it's funny, I've learned, though, to ask people if they're readers. And I used to say, so do you read? And people look at me like, of course I read. So now I say, are you a reader? Because I've sent books to people and they don't read them, because, you know, some people aren't readers. Like, I'm a voracious reader and some people are not. But I say, so are you a reader? And then when they say yes, I usually, typically, if something's going on in their life and I think I know a book that might help them or that might add something, I just send it. And I loved when I read that he did that, and how his friends, like, say, oh, there's the book. You know, that's the guy who sends the books in the mail. You know, he talks about how touch triumphs over technology every time. You know, I think that we are becoming a divided, we have divided generations. You know, I've got people that work with me that texting is their only way of communication, which bugs the you-know-what out of me. And then I have the old-school people like me that, you know, we still reach out and touch people, call people. You know, he says somewhere here in the book that, you know, during an email, on a third exchange back and forth, if you haven't resolved the issue, pick up the phone, which I'm a big believer in that. But touching triumphs over technology. So technology is absolutely wonderful. You know, when I'm traveling with my BlackBerry, I can keep, you know, on top of things. But when you're doing business with someone and you're trying to get business or you're trying to close a deal, I don't think that email and texting is the way to go, and try to pay attention to that. Okay, so there's an announcement. At the end of this call, I'm going to pick three of you to win books for the next book club. The next book club is on May 12th. The book, this, as I've said to you all along, you don't have to read the book. this book I want you to read. It will take an hour of your time. It's a short little book. It's called The Instant Millionaire. And Dwayne Stiller from the Wilbright Development Company recommended to me the book. I read the book last weekend when I was at Universal sitting at the pool with my kids. It's fabulous, and I'm interviewing Dwayne. And Dwayne and I are going to be discussing the book on May 12th. So it's, again, a short read. This is a parable, like a fable. You've got to read the book versus me just telling you what the book's about. You'll get more out of it. And at the end of this call, if you guys are interested in getting a free copy of the book, I'm going to give away three copies. How you do that is you got to email me while you're listening to the call. You know, just email me. I'm on the call. And then of those people that email me, I will pick the first, 15th, and 30th person that emails me, and they'll get a free copy or a free downloadable version if you have a Kindle of the book. So read the book for Dwayne for May 12th for my interview with Dwayne. Hello? So back to this book, Networking is a Contact Sport. They talk about that there's no substitute for the personal touch. You know, when he talks about Bob Costas, he goes and picks him up at the airport. He doesn't have someone else do it. Treat others the way they want to be treated. We've talked about that a bunch of times. He talks about how he studied successful people, which is what I'm all about with these book clubs. I like to read about people. And he talks about on page 20, relationships and memories are what give life inestimable richness. And we just finished 3 weeks ago a ropes course where 12 of us in the industry went and did some crazy stuff, jumping off, 35-foot pieces of, 12 inches by 12 inches pieces of wood into the, unknown. Obviously, we were belayed and everything was safe. But those 12 people that went on that event, that ropes course for that day, that Saturday, I can tell you that we've seen each other. We saw each other last week at retail one-on-one, and the bonds that created going on that event, that one-day event, was unbelievable. And my goal is to try to do one on the water in September, where it will be very, nice and hot. So we will we're going to do it on the water, and I'll be announcing it, later on this summer. But that creating an experience is far more impactful than a 2-minute or 3-minute meeting at an ICSE. That's why I'm such a big believer in the bus tours that Gary Broitis and Larry Brooks are doing. I've been on two now. The third one is July 28th. And some people go, oh my God, I don't want to sit on a bus for eight hours. But the relationships that you make on those buses, because you are with these people for more than 3 minutes than at a networking event, is irreplaceable. So I highly recommend the bus tours. I understand some people said I get car sick and I can't do that. But if it's not a physical thing, take the day. Trust me, it's worth it. And again, the experience to be with some of these people is invaluable. Joe Sweeney talks about when he's 8 years old, he's at Notre Dame. His family goes there. I think he had eight brothers, and one of his brothers wanted to be on the Notre Dame football team. And this 8-year-old walks into Coach Parsagian's office and says, "You need to give my brother a scholarship." I mean, hilarious. So you knew at 8 years old this guy was going to become something, because that confidence in himself and not being afraid to contact or walk into or call or talk to anyone was going to reward him for the rest of his life. And I hear so many times that people in the industry, well, I can't call the head of real estate or the real estate manager for XYZ retailer. Some of you are intimidated by doing that. Pick up the phone. What's the worst thing that could happen? You might have to leave 47 messages like I did. But again, don't be afraid to call anyone. What's the worst that can happen? They can just say no, and that's not the worst that could happen. So I thought that was a great example. At 8 years old, this guy was not afraid. Don't be afraid to introduce yourself and make new relationships. you know, think back at the last three ICSEs. Did you make new relationships, or did you just hang out with the people that you know? You know, people laugh at me when I'm moderating on the bus tour. If I see you sitting next to someone that you know, I make you move around. I mean, networking is a contact sport. That doesn't mean just hanging out with people that you know already. So, you know, it also talks in the book about treating everyone with respect, whether it's a breakfast waitress, an office janitor, the guy at the hot dog stand. I learned a very valuable lesson. You know, one of my dear friends is Ivy Grainer with Ram Real Estate. We went to L.A. many years ago for the Emmys. We were lucky enough to get passes to go into the Emmys, which was very exciting, and we were going to have a great time. And Ivy, from the minute we got off the airplane and got in the car, she was making friends with the cab driver, the valet guy, and I'm like, what are you doing? Why, you know, she would talk to anybody. She would talk to a pole. And she was just making small talk with everybody we came into contact with. Well, the night of the Emmys, it really benefited us because she made friends while I was out walking the red carpet trying to spy every celebrity because I, you know, thought that was so much fun. She was not into that. She was inside the pavilion and was talking to the security guards. Well, lo and behold, during part of the Emmys, the security guard guy waves her over, and we got like, you know, sixth row seats because of it. And I learned a very valuable lesson that everyone's important. No matter, you know, who you are, people, you know, it's just a testament to how that worked in her favor with karma, treating people with the utmost respect. And, you know, a lot of times people say to me at ICSEs, how did you do? Did you meet any great people? Well, no, I just met a lot of sign guys or a lot of GCs. And I say, well, you know what? Sign guys know a lot about what's going on and who's expanding and who's looking, and so do GCs. So try not to look beyond, you know, the person that you're riding in the elevator with, because you just never know. And he talks about that in this book, and I've had personal experience. You know, he talks about networking is like cultivating a garden. You have to keep laying the seeds, and then eventually those seeds will bloom. And you never know. He writes, 50% of what I do is worth it, and 50% of what I do is a waste of time. I'm just not sure which 50%. I laughed out loud when I read that because that's so true. You just never know. But having the self-confidence and being comfortable in your own skin, act like you belong no matter where you are. Walk into an ICSE and go up. I always tell my rookies when I'm training them to go up to people who are standing alone, because those people feel bad. They're feeling uncomfortable. They don't know that many people. They're probably like I was early on in my career. And if you walk up to them and you start talking to them, they love you because you just save them from feeling uncomfortable or awkward. And you never know who that person might be. So, but to walk in, you know, like on the bus tour, my first bus tour, I didn't know half the people on my bus, which I loved because I liked meeting new people. But, you know, I just acted like I belonged. I was the moderator, and I made people talk into the microphone. So, and I think that's another important thing. When you're at these ICSEs or if your company gives parties, you're the host, or act like you're the host. You know, a lot of us, I can see from the list of who's registered, a lot of us have been in the business a long, long time. You know, and there's so many people younger than us and just getting in the business, we can reach out and help other people. And if we see people that look a little lost or look uncomfortable, whether we're the host of the party or not, we can act like we're the host of the party and we can help out people. And that's what this book is all about, is helping. And if you help and if you give, you'll get in return, you know, just like I tell people, canvassing karma. So go up to people that are standing alone. And then it also talks about being intentional, having intentional networking. Intentional networking, you know, I say to people a week before Orlando, so I presume you've gone through the Orlando registration list to know who's coming. And people look at me sometimes like with blank stares. Or I presume you looked at the retail one-on-one registration list. If you take some time, everyone pretty much does it with Vegas because you need to have appointments with Vegas in advance. But they don't always do it with the local events. And you might be trying to get a hold of the leasing agent across the street from you or down the street from you to get market comps. and maybe you don't have a relationship with them. Maybe they just bought the center. But if you go online and you see who's registered for, you know, Katie's event in Palm Beach in, next week, you might see, oh, there's that guy. I really need to talk to him, and have a plan that when I go to that Palm Beach ICSE or that Treasure Coast ICSE, I see that there's three people there that I really want to talk to. You know, you don't have to go collect 25 business cards. You can have a plan that you want to speak to three people. And then you leave that event and you say, okay, I accomplished what, you know, I set out to do. And he also talks about if you have that plan, to do it early. Don't wait around to the end of the event because they might have to leave early and then you lost your opportunity. So definitely have intent, have a plan, and then act early and do it with confidence. You know, he says on 37, sometimes you need to fake it until you make it. And, you know, I'm a big believer in that. I think sometimes if you're in a bad mood and you fake, you know, you kind of just put a fake smile on your face, eventually, whether it's, you know, physical or emotional or just your attitude changes. You just have to put a smile on your face and be happy that you're there. You know, we have such limited opportunities. If you think about it, we've got the Orlando show and the Vegas show and the Hard Rock. You know, there's three, and then you have some local events. But if you have three or four events a year that you go to, that's not a lot, and you need to be on. So, you know, do it with intent and put a smile on your face and have a plan, and you'll walk out that night going, I really accomplished what I set out to do. And usually what happens is if you have a plan to meet three, you have three other meetings you didn't expect to have, and it'll have been a good day. And then going back to listening, being a good listener, you know, I know you guys have heard me till I'm blue in the face on this, but I thought it was very interesting. I put a check mark on page 41. If any of you are golfers on the phone, you know, he says that reminding myself to have the discipline of being a good listener is like reminding myself to keep my head down when I'm stroking a putt. You know, it's so hard to keep your head down when you're playing golf. You know, keep your head down, and golfers will tell you that's their mantra. So, but that's what you have to do when you're having an important, you know, in any conversation, but it's specifically the important conversations. I need to listen. Because you just, and maybe have an accountability partner, which he talks about in the book for other areas. Have an accountability partner that's standing next to you and you're like, okay, you know, you did a good job, but you know, there were a few times that you interrupted and didn't let the guy finish the thought. The guy that finishes the thought, there might be a gold mine in what he's about to say, and you missed it. So be very careful. Don't butt in. Exercise patience, he talks about. You know, he says having conversation is a two-way street. It's like a backyard catch. You know, a lot of the new generation don't read the papers anymore, which, you know, I like to send books, I love to send articles. I read, you know, newspapers in the morning. I'm cutting out articles. My assistant loves it when I come in with 10 articles to send out. But when you read, you become versant in issues that come up in conversations. And, you know, and people say, well, I read the paper at night when I get home. Well, you might lose the opportunity at a lunch meeting or during the day. I was at another meeting yesterday where it was all about politics in Miami-Dade County and the mayor being recalled. And if I didn't read the paper every day, I would have been completely out of the loop on that whole conversation, which was very important. So, and knowing about people's kids and knowing about what's going on in their life, you know, people love talking about themselves, and they also, you know, a lot of times rookies say, well, I don't know what to say to the head of real estate at Publix, and I say, you know what, ask them how they, you know, how they've achieved success. Everyone likes to talk about themselves, and no matter if we're in the business 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 2 years, you know, people come up to me. I had a young woman that came up to me probably a year ago and said, you know, I wish you, you know, I'd love to just spend the day with you. I wish you would create something to where I could spend the day with you. And that's kind of launched a whole side business. If she had never come up to me, I might not have done that. You know, I'd been thinking about it, but, you know, people love to talk about themselves or say, you know, what would be the number one piece of advice you would give to someone? And even those of us that have been in the business, I was in a company for 18 years, and then I went to launch out on my own. So I had a whole new area to talk to people about. people that had already been on their own that I had not been on my own. So even though I was in the business for 18 years, I could be vulnerable. And later on, it talks in the book how women or females can be more vulnerable than males, which we'll get to. But I could be vulnerable and say, you know, you've been on your own, you know, Mr. Smith. You know, what's your best piece of advice? Even though I'd been in the business 18 years. So I've gotten a few emails. I need a few more. If you want the free book, send an email that you're on the call. And at the end of the call, we're going to give you guys, I'm going to give away 3 free books for next month, May 12th. So he says he searches for penetrating questions to ask, whether it's about current events, whether it's about something he heard about them in the business, whether it's about their kids. He also said something that, you know, I did terrible at this. I used to walk up in and interrupt people. And he said that if there's someone engaged in a conversation, to just walk by, try to catch an eye, and then, you know, be around if you had an intent to meet and talk to that person, then just kind of hover, but don't interrupt. And sometimes I've not done that in the past, and I thought that was really a good piece of advice. The other thing that he says is don't hand out a business card right away, which I teach my rookies to do all the time, you know, to hand out their business card. And he says that's not something he would recommend. He'd wait for someone to ask for a card. Certainly, I would teach my rookies to ask everyone for a card because, you know, they're growing their database. But those are 2 things that I learned about that. He says he says everyone loves a freestanding invitation to wax eloquent about himself or his family. So those are always safe things to talk about. You know, and I think they're starting to teach this in the business schools because sometimes kids come up to me and they say, "So what do you think about the industry?" And I say, "Well, what do you mean?" And then they don't know how to follow up that question. So if you're mentoring young students that are graduating, I think they need to go a little step forward or further on that. Remembering names, you know, that's so hard, but he talks about how important it is and how, you know, it says that a person's name is the sweetest and most important sound in any language. What does that say about us? So we all should do a better job of that, and he gives you some exercises in page 46 and 47 about memorizing first names. You know, my trick is I try to repeat it. And when I was young and insecure, people would say their names, and if I didn't catch it right away, I would just pretend like I did, and now I don't. I just say, "I'm sorry, I didn't get that," or sometimes I ask them to spell it because, you know, there's some unique names out there these days. So I ask them to spell it, and then by doing that, if your name is, you know, Lori, I say, "Is that L-O-R-I or L-A-U-R-I-E?" And then it helps me remember. And I do think that you win a ton of goodwill when you can remember people's names. Another funny story about my dear friend Ivy. We were in Vegas one year, and I was standing there with a person in my firm, and she was standing there with a person in her firm, and my partner said, you know, said to the or her partner Seth said, "You know, do you know Ivy?" And I said, "Hi, nice to meet you." And Ivy says, "We've met 4 or 5 times." I never forgot Ivy after that, and now we're, you know, good for her for saying, you know, "I've met you 4 or 5 times." I learned a very valuable lesson from that and how I felt terrible, but good for her. And I wouldn't recommend that, but, you know, it worked for her. And I never forgot her name after that. He talks about having an intention. If he goes to a social event, he doesn't really push his business, but he wants to learn more about people, and he says he leaves the event and makes notes about the people that he met with. He talks about a networking, he calls it Networking 101, and it's the 5-10-15 program. And I really like this. It's kind of old school, those of you on the call that are really, you know, computer literate. But he says, you know, he has a 5-10-15 plan, which is he wants to have 5 encounters a day, which mean it could be meetings or encounters. And he says encounters could be, you know, running into someone at Starbucks. 10 correspondences a day, which could be emails, sending an article to a person, sending a letter or a proposal, and then 15 phone calls. So I tried doing this in the last week, and I probably got 50%. you know, it's on page, in the book, page number 56. And if you didn't buy the book, if you email me, I'll send you this page. And he says he's old school. He puts a bunch of them in a three-ring binder, and he has an accountability partner, which is his assistant, bugging him throughout the day to fill it in. But I tried to do it a few days last week, and I probably got 3 or 4 meetings a day, which was good. I probably got 3 or 4 correspondence and probably got 10 phone calls. But what he says is if you follow this plan every day, his goal is to get 5 engagements from it over a certain period of time. And I certainly felt like, and I know some of you I've talked to about monitoring your time. Where does your time go? Because, you know, so many of you call and say or see me at ICSEs and go, time management's my biggest problem. What do I do? So this is a very good exercise. I recommend it. You know, I couldn't achieve it to the level he did, but I think it's certainly the days I did it, it made me more productive. Like I felt like at 3 o'clock when I only had, you know, 2 correspondences, I did more. You know, I became more productive in those last 2 hours of the day. So that's on page 56 of the book. He talks about when he was honored at an event, and he said he got 2 heartfelt letters from 2 guys in their 70s and 80s, and they were big deals, you know, like heads of companies, and he said that was very impactful to him, that here are guys in their 70s and 80s, you know, gazillionaires, and they still had time where they saw something written about him in the paper, and they sent a handwritten note. He said that sending things like that out, he said that people remember that for years and years and years. And I think that's so true. When I became the president of my former company, I got so many nice cards and so many nice letters, and I still remember the people that took the time to do that. So keep that in mind if you see a friend that's written about in the newspaper or, you know, is announcing a big deal or changing companies, that I think that is something very important that you could do to make an impact. He also says in the book he thinks that 10 leads get one prospect. 10 leads get one prospect. So, you know, keep those figures in mind. So Google Alert, speaking of that, if you don't know what Google Alert is a free thing that Google offers, a free service, and if you put in a client, let's say General Electric's one of your clients or Starbucks, if you put in that, you will get alerts via email when those, or let's say you have a specific client name, Bill Smith. Put that on there, and then every time Bill Smith's mentioned in the media anywhere, it will alert you, and then you can say, hey, I saw that you were written about. I'm seeing that I'm behind on my, I'm only halfway through the book, and we're almost done. They talk about alliances. I think it's very important. Anyone that likes reality TV knows how alliances work. You should have alliances. I've always had a group. They talk about wingmen. You know, I have 4 to 8 women in different parts of my life that are, and I have a couple of guys too that are my wingmen that I can call about certain things, whether it's, you know, running my own company, whether it's retail relationships, whether it's partnerships, investments, my kids, my family, my charities. You really should be part of some smaller group that you can go to and that you can trust implicitly. And you know, someone said to me the other day, well, you know, but I'm new. Well, you know what? People, you grow with your peers. So get a group with your peers. That's not to say that you can't reach out and ask someone, you know, to mentor you that's more experienced in their career, but get people that you are at the same level, because you all grow through the industry together. And, you know, people that were rookies with me when I was a rookie are now running their own companies. You know, at work, volunteer to help on projects that no one else wants to volunteer. Eat lunch with people other than sitting in your cubicle. Eat lunch with different people in your company. You never know, he says, when one of those people can become your future boss. But hanging around with people, that the same people over and over again, and I like going to different industry events. You know, someone emailed me the other day, there's a retail conference in Orlando, and they said, do you think it's worth it? I think going to different things, to get one idea, depending on the cost. If it's $3,000, maybe not, but if it's $300 and you live in Orlando and you can learn the retail perspective from the operations point of view, I think that's a fabulous idea. So, I like going to NAIOP once in a while. I like going to IREM once in a while because I think we learn other things. I went to a presentation summit in California last year. It was a whole conference on giving presentations, which I'm doing more of, but you learn so much. So, it talks about following your passion. He talks about how he loved basketball, and he wanted to meet people in his neighborhood, so he started a basketball league with kids. My passion, I love reading and teaching, and I thought, oh, book club, and I'm absolutely loving this. I get so excited when I read a good book, and I know I'm going to share it with you guys, and I talk more about the books when I see you guys in person. But it combines a passion and two of passions of mine. So whatever your passions are, expand on those. If you're shy, I had a client once where she and I didn't get along. And I didn't really know why, but she didn't really like me and I didn't really like her. But we didn't really have any reason. But I was really, crazily outgoing and she was reserved. And our respective bosses got us together and we went out for an evening and we got to know each other better. And after that, we were great friends. And so sometimes, you have to spend more time with people and get through the differences. In our case, there was really nothing wrong. Neither one didn't like the other one, but we were so different of people, and we didn't know how to get through it. And I consider this person a friend today. I think she's on the call. And I can't impress upon when you're having an obstacle in a relationship to reach out and spend time with those people, because I think that you can overcome that. And, in humor, I was in a meeting with a retailer the other day, and it was a husband and a wife, and they're a master franchise for a retailer expanding in Broward County, and they brought along their consultant. And the guy was an absolute jerk. And throughout the conversation, he must have said 10 negative things to me. And at one point he says, well, how do we know you're not going to go bankrupt? And, I just turned to him and I said, boy, you are just a ball of optimism, aren't you? And it just cut through a very tense situation. And after that, it was fine because, the couple said, yeah, can you imagine dealing with them on a day-to-day basis? And he goes, well, I have to protect their interest, and I appreciate that. But it was just building up and building up, and I could have gotten angry and said something that I would have regretted, but I used humor, and he talks about that. Using humor is, helps so much. So if you feel yourself getting angry or you feel yourself tensing up because of something's going on, then use humor to cut the tension. And they talk about men and women. They say men grew up in a world where conversation is a contest. Someone to achieve the upper hand and to prevent people from pushing them over, while women were grown up to believe that conversation is a way to exchange information and to share respect with each other, and that women engage in rapport talking and men engage in report talking. So it's very important to keep that in mind when you guys are dealing with each other, because I thought that was very interesting, and that was like on page, I think, 170. Be a master consensus builder. If we're brokers and we're leasing agents, we need to do that. We need to bring parties together. Be down to earth. As we grow in the business, it's easy to get egos, and no one likes to talk to know-it-alls. So, pay it forward. Those of you on the call that are experienced people, we need to pay it forward and help out the younger people and impress upon them that they have to do the same when they become leaders in our industry. I thought the bamboo analogy on page 222 was phenomenal. It talks about how bamboo, the first year you plant it, you water it, you fertilize it, nothing happens. The second year you plant it, you water it, fertilize it, nothing happens. The third year, same thing. In the fourth year, suddenly the Chinese bamboo tree sprouts and grows 90 feet in 6 weeks. 90 feet in 6 weeks after 4 years of nothing. That, you know, that is really the definition of networking. You could network and network and network and plant the seed and fertilize the seed, and then, you know, in one fell swoop, you get, you know, your 10 new accounts. Patience as well as persistence is so important. And then the last thing in the book that I'll say is the last paragraph in the book, and it talks about, if you were asked to name the teacher who impacted your life the most, or the friend who helped you through a difficult time, or five people you enjoyed spending time with, those are the people who have made a substantial difference in your life. And they're probably not the ones that, you know, would be getting the ticker tape parade down Broadway, but those are the people who were mentors in your life, who cared about you, and who enriched your life. So think about that, and I want you guys to be mentors and people who enrich others in your life. On that note, I'm giving away three books. Remember, May 12th, interview with Duane Stiller. He recommended this book. I loved the book. It's called The Instant Millionaire. We will, the three books are going to the people, number 1, 15, and 30, who sent their emails in. So those people are Andrea Blade, Beth Linsner, and Molly Prince. So we will email you guys if you want hard copies of the books or you want downloadable versions. June 30th, I'm having a Rookie to Rockstar down here in Fort Lauderdale. So if you want more information about that, go to my website. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope you guys have gotten one or two ideas. And, hey, have a great Earth Day tomorrow. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Beth.